Romans 1:16, that verse is how I got into ministry. I gave up my dental business back in 1987, and a few years later, I was working in nursing homes using portable dental equipment. I had been saved in 1987, and as I was working in these nursing homes, I would see a lot of people dying. That's what happens in places like that. And I realized one day when I saw kind of a stack of cards, people who had died that I had seen, I realized that I saw their mouths. I looked in their mouths, but I never thought about their heart and their soul. And I never witnessed to any of them. And I was ashamed. And studying the book of Romans in the Bible Institute, came to that verse, 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not something you need to keep to yourself. You need to share it. And I told the Lord then that whatever he wanted me to do in ministry, I would do it for him, even if it meant not being a dentist anymore. So I thank the Lord that he allowed me to be in ministry and still be a dentist and combine the two of them. That's amazing to me. And so we're just thankful for what God has done over the years. I appreciated Brother Mike's message also today from the Bible. And I just want to mention, as a missionary dentist, I always think of myself as the tooth in the church, in the body of Christ. We talked about the eye and, you know, the foot, but I believe I'm the tooth. And our brother, not this most recent message, but the one before, it's a sobering message, and I don't want to make light of it. But he did mention my theme verse, Psalm 81:10. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So we are a scriptural ministry. and we do thank the Lord for what he's enabled us to do. I realized not too long ago that it's been 25 years. When I was a rich dentist for a few years, I never traveled anywhere. When I became a poor missionary, I've been around the world. And God has provided everything. So we're just thankful for that. This will be a little bit different presentation. So I might not ever be invited back, but it says that I'm supposed to do mission update and message. I'm going to do mission update and kind of a testimony at the same time. And I think you'll see why as we go through this presentation. And also the second part of it, the message part of it, just share my burden for what I feel should be happening today among us Christians in our churches, that and someone else can speak to this better than I can, but I think we're closer to the end times than we think. And with all the chaos that's going around in the world, in our country, we should be getting the gospel out. That should be our task now. We should be burdened to be getting the gospel out. We shouldn't be fighting over who has the vaccine, who doesn't have the vaccine, who wears a mask and who doesn't wear a mask. That's the devil distracting us from what we should be doing. People need the gospel today more than any time. And so that's my burden. We'll share that a little bit. So I don't know if I can make this thing work or not, but we'll see what happens. So GFA Missions is our mission. We've been in ministry 25 years, the last two now with GFA Missions. We're thankful for that. We joined GFA Missions in 2019, and then in October, and then February, March, that was the end of it, basically. I mean, 2020, the virus hit, and we've had a number of trips, I think probably 8 or 10 ministry trips canceled that we had planned. So it's been a disruption for all of us in different ways, but we're thankful for opportunities that God has given us to be on the field, be overseas. And we most recently came back from Zambia in September, and we're thankful for that. But I'm going to start back in 2013. And in 2013, I told you it was going to be testimony too. So in 2013, we went to Zambia, my wife and I and another man. And it was our second time to Zambia, but the first time in this village. Don't ask me how to say the name, but we were in this village in 2013. The missionary that we were working with, Todd and Kathy Beeman, were desirous of planting a church in this village. And so he felt that having a dental ministry, in this case it was just dental ministry, would be kind of a jump start to planting a church in this village. And so we were planning to go in September of 2013. And as we planned for this trip, my mother was very sick. And I was debating whether or not to go. And I was in contact with the doctor almost daily leading up to when we were supposed to go. And the last conversation I had with the doctor, he said to me, I hope I will be as strong as your mother is when I get to be her age. She'll be fine. And so we went. And she died. Ever since that time, 2013, I've been wondering, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? So here we are in this village in 2013. We are set up under a tree there. There were no buildings other than where the people lived. We're set up under a tree. We were there for 3 days. And as we were doing dental care, the missionary Todd Beeman was sharing the gospel with people who came. And 3 days, and after we left, he told us that there were people saved during that time. And he started a Bible study right after that. And this was in September. By December, they had a church. I couldn't believe it. I said, no, that's wrong. You know, that does not happen. And but they had a church. Not only did they have a church, but they had a church building in December. So that's kind of the background to this story that I would like to tell today. So we went to Zambia in September, as I said. We had the opportunity to visit a game park, and we were there one night, and this lion came walking by our car and sat down and posed for us. So we thanked him for that and quickly left. Anyway, we were back this time in that same village. So this is now 2021, 8 years. And so we're in the same village, and look at the crowds that came. And you see buildings there. Then the next picture, you see You see here Todd Beeman sharing the gospel to the people. We were there. We had, I believe, 6 days of clinic. We had, we treated about 150 people a day. So they all heard the gospel during that time. And you see up on the hill there in the foreground, the church, the background, I guess it is in this picture. That's the church they built in 2013. And so we're thankful for the body of believers that God has placed in that church, and they're faithfully serving the Lord. And so in this ministry that we participated in September, many of the people from that church were helpers in the ministry, or translators, or other doing other ministries along with us. So that was really a joy to now be working alongside these same people. And so the gospel was faithfully proclaimed by Pastor Beeman, and also this other man here in the orange shirt, a fairly new missionary there. And so he was also sharing. So as the people would come each day, when we got there, there probably were over 100 people, close to 200 people already there waiting for us. Some people stayed overnight the night before to be sure that they could get their chance. And so each day before we started, before people were even registered, they heard the gospel in the group. So we're thankful for the men that shared. Some in their own language. This man sharing the gospel here is a Zambian man who went to a Bible college there in Zambia and is now a pastor in a church probably about 8 hours away from here. He came for the time that we were there, the 2 weeks we were there this September, and faithfully again shared the gospel. He had the advantage he could share it in their language, their tribal language. English is the national language, but these people here, some speak English, but most speak the tribal language there. So I don't. I barely speak English. So anyway, they would hear the gospel in a group, and they would hear sometimes one-on-one as they would be waiting. Sometimes these people had to wait all day for their turn to see the doctor or the dentist. We had a medical doctor there and several nurses as well. And so here they're... I think most of them have the bridge track there in their hands, and they're hearing the gospel. And we gave out glasses, reading glasses, and so they had to read Bible passages to check to see if their glasses were the right strength. So that was a dual purpose there. So that was we appreciate those that were giving out. And you see the Zambian helpers from the church were the ones that were doing that part of the ministry. So again, we're thankful for them. My wife abandoned me during this trip. She decided to work in the pharmacy area rather than with the dentist, as she usually does. I don't know what I did, but anyway, so I had two capable men helping me. You see one there in the background with the cowboy hat. His name is John, and he took he didn't take my wife's place, but he assisted in her place. And another man, I'll show you a picture of him in a little bit. But this lady here, her name is, we would call her Evelyn, but she goes by Evelyn there. They say it Evelyn there. We were there in the same, the same village, but we're actually in a different village in March. And she was the one that would bring the dental patients to where I was working. And, she could speak English, so I would speak to her each time, and we would just try to encourage her with tracts and gospel, and invited her to come out to the church service the middle Sunday we were there. And she came, and she made a profession of faith at that time, her and a friend of hers. And so we were looking forward to coming back there now this September and seeing her again. And she was doing the same ministry, bringing patients to the dentist. And so I said, "Are you still going to church?" And she said, "No." That day she came to church and made a profession of faith. It was the only time she went to church since we were there. And so the Beemans also have another church plant now, second church plant, also started through medical missions in another village called Muma. And so during the time that we were there, they were going to have a church dedication of the new church building in the village of Muma. And so we invited Evelyn to come to that church service, and she did come. So we're thankful for that. She has an unsaved husband, and I think that's the stumbling block there that's preventing her from coming out to church on a regular basis, so I can understand that. My wife had an unsaved husband for about 14 years, so there's some similarities there, but I would encourage you to, if you think of it, to pray for Evelyn that she would follow through and continue to come out to church. So during this time, we had both medical and dental. Sorry, I went by that one too fast. Here, Dr. Dan is taking out, he said, more wax than he's ever seen in someone's ear, ever. He was working on that man for quite a while, getting wax out of his ears, both ears. Thankful that we could do those kinds of things. And here he is given an injection in the knee, cortisone, I believe. So both medical and dental. And the doctors, the medical people, probably saw about 125 to 150 people a day. The dentist takes a little bit longer. We saw probably about 20 or so people a day. I love this picture. You see the lady in the yellow there in the chair and a baby on her back and another young child on the back of the chair. And in the middle of all that, the nurse is trying to figure out, okay, talk to her through a translator to figure out what her problem is. So it can get quite comical at times trying to get to the real root of the problem with some of these people. And here, now we find my wife. She's over in the pharmacy area helping there. The pharmacy area giving out medications to people is the busiest part of the ministry. And generally, we need several people working in that part of the ministry. So she was helping out there during this trip. Here you see my two helpers, John again in the background with the cowboy hat, and this young man in the foreground here. His name is Dan. Dan was saved not too long ago, probably several months ago, and he was baptized probably 2 to 3 weeks before this picture was taken. And the missionary says he's just been so faithful in coming out to church. And so our mode of operation in the clinic area, in the building here, was to start each morning with prayer. We would gather the workers before the patients came in, and we would pray. And so I made the mistake of asking Dan to pray without asking Dan first. I asked him in the group, and he declined. He had never done that before. I didn't realize that. He had never prayed in public before. I said, Dan, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. He said, ask me on Monday. I'll pray on Monday. This was Friday. He said, I'll pray on Monday. And so Monday came, and he prayed. It was just amazing prayer. Praise the Lord for us. Somebody like this man who's been saved now, serving in the church, and really wants to do what's right, wants to follow the Lord. So we're just thankful for him. I told Pastor Beeman, you can take pictures of me, but don't take pictures of me when I have my head down. For obvious reasons. You know, I don't know about you people, but I never look at the top of my head. And somebody took a picture of the top of my head the last ministry we did in July, and I was like, I'm losing my hair. So Todd Beeman likes to come in the dental area. He hides out in the dental area because he gets a lot of people trying to get in front of the line through him. And so he kind of hides out in the dental area. And so he takes a lot of pictures there. And I made the mistake to tell him, don't take a picture of me with my head down. Of course, he's got about 20 of them. So anyway, we're just thankful for the relationship that we have with the Beemans. They just are wonderful missionaries. Pastor Beeman says that he could plant the church in probably like 200 villages if he had people to help him. And we hear that almost everywhere we go. You know the saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. This doesn't look real good, but this man had just seen the dentist. And he got out of the dental chair and fainted. So he was fine, you know, about 10 minutes later he got up and walked out. But I tell Evelyn, I said, don't bring men between 20 and 40 years old. I said, those are the worst patients. They hate the dentist. They have the hardest teeth to take out. Don't bring young men. I said, bring older women. Now, I say that respectfully to older women, but in Africa, the older women, all their teeth are loose. I said, those are the patients I want to see. Don't bring the young men with the strong teeth. Anyway, and we had, again, several nurses with us as well. Betty actually here is the wife of the doctor that we saw in the other pictures. So this was where we had the ministry here. And then I mentioned to you that on that Sunday, they were going to dedicate the church building in the second church plant, the village of Muma. And so this is their church. It was probably finished maybe 2 weeks before we got there. They were actually still cleaning windows and stuff the week of this ministry here. So the Muma Church building was dedicated, and the Beemans invited the chief of this area. The chief has been very helpful to us in allowing us to come and trying to help us get through the red tape of the health department and things like that. So he's been very faithful, a friend to us there. He also had his laptop stolen about a year ago, and we were supposed to go in July, and so we had a laptop for him that someone donated to us to give to him. And I keep wondering who would steal the laptop of the chief. I think it wouldn't go so well if they found out who did that. But anyway, so the chief came, and that was a big thing. The people, met him. The women here. This is actually the women in the reddish shirts there. The ladies' choir from the church. They went out to meet him, and they were singing as he came into the church. So this was real honor to the people of this village that the chief would actually come for the dedication of the building, and he spoke during that time there in the church. And also I had the opportunity to present him with the laptop. So it was just a wonderful ceremony. And then you see here the picture of the inside of the church and all the people that were there. The people from both churches were there, the first church plant and also this second church plant. After the service was over, the missionary asked the people that were there from the first church plant, how many of the people there had seen the dentist in 2013? And about 8 or 10 people raised their hand. And I said, that's why we were there in 2013 instead of at home. I just thank God for showing me that. I felt guilty not being home. But my responsibility is to the Lord first. I'm just so thankful. That he showed me. Someone told me before I came up here to liven people up. This isn't the way to do it. Anyway, so that was our ministry in September. You know, what God did for me was bigger than what we did for anybody else there. And I'm just thankful for God's faithfulness. And so I mentioned about the gospel. This is the time for us to be bold. I say extraordinary times. We are in extraordinary time in our country, in our world. And extraordinary times demand extraordinary Christians. We need to be bold. Elizabeth Elliot says there is no need for faith where there is no consciousness of an element of risk. Faith, to be worthy of the name, must embrace doubt. We can't be afraid to serve the Lord. We can't be afraid during this time to be bold with the gospel. People need the gospel today. That's the only thing that's going to change our country. It's not whether you're Democrat or Republican. It's not whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. It's whether you're a Christian. And it's up to us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to serve the Lord in faith, not fear. Not fear. Sarah Hall Boardman Judson, missionary to Burma or Myanmar, her and her first husband, George, I think it was, Boardman, Sarah Boardman, her and her husband, their first, their ministry actually was in the city of Dawe. The city of Dawe is where my wife and I have had ministry on two occasions with a young man named Job. The Boardmans left Dawe because it was too hard. The work was too hard. They're 100% Buddhist in Dawe. And Pastor Job now is there, serving faithfully, even now during the hardships of what's going on in the country of Myanmar. People are being killed every day because of the military coup there. And the virus is raging. And there's no hospitals. The hospitals have nothing in them. And there's no vaccine, even if it did work. And so Pastor Job is just working faithfully. I just got an email today. I haven't read the whole thing because there was a message going on. But he is faithfully serving still during this time in Dawe. And people are getting saved. Praise the Lord. I say, I wish I was like him. A young man with three children. And I don't know what happened, but I'm supposed to have some pictures of him here. I put it in the presentation this morning, but I guess I was still asleep, so they're not here. But I'm thankful for Pastor Job. I'll just share what was in the pictures. Basically, there, I can't speak Burmese or even the other languages that they speak. I think Pastor Matt Poster probably knows some of the languages there because the Bibles International is there translating. But Pastor Job would come as my translator, and he would stand by the dental chair, and every time they would bring the next patient to the dental chair, he first would share the gospel with them. And then he would translate for me. And the last day we were there, two years ago now, one man promised to come to church the next week. Well, he didn't come to church the next week. And we left, but the week after he came. Not only he came, but five family members came. And we were just so thankful for that. But then they had to close the church after that. And so we don't know the situation now with this man. Matthew 28:18-20, you know this verse, these verses. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, there's a lot to be said in these verses, that we could say in these verses, but I've underlined two things. Go ye therefore, and then the end, I am with you always, the promise of God. I am with you always. Joshua 1:9 is one of my, we'll say, favorite verses. And this is a verse I take with me in my mind when I go, wherever we go. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's not a place we can go in the world that God is not with us. And we've been to some crazy places. We're thankful that God is with us. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge I take with myself, even going to Dunkin' Donuts to get a cup of coffee through the drive-thru. God is with me there. I can give that person a gospel tract that waits on me. I can do that. Because God is with me. They're not going to shoot me if I give them a gospel tract. They won't shoot you either. Does anybody here ever go through a drive-thru? Ever. Ever. Nobody goes through a drive-thru. Nobody. I can't believe they don't have them here in Ohio. I knew it. I tell my wife, Ohio. She's from Ohio, you know. You don't go through the drive-thru. I put gospel tracts in the side, my door, in the car. When I go through a drive-thru, I take one from the bottom. I put it up on the top by the window. I'm ready for them. They give me my coffee. I give them the tract. Some of them do it real quick, though. I have the tract there. You can do that. You can. They won't shoot you. And most people say thank you. Hudson Taylor, a medical missionary to start with, he said, we did not come to China because missionary work here was either safe or easy, but because he called us. We did not enter upon our present positions under a guarantee of human protection, but relying on what? The promise of his presence. That is huge. We can't do anything without knowing that God is there for us, no matter what happens. I tell people, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to not go anywhere because I'm afraid. I don't want fear to stop me from going somewhere. I don't want to be foolish either. We've gone to Lebanon several times and people say, what are you doing going there? We have had wonderful opportunities to share the gospel with Muslim men, Shia Muslims, and I'm not saying it right, but Shiite Muslims, Druze people. I mean, we're never fearful in Lebanon. And I eat a lot of stuffed grape leaves there. That's my favorite. My mother was Lebanese. We can't let fear stop us. And that's what they're trying to do in this country today. They want us to be afraid to tell people we're Christian. And not only that, to share the gospel with them. They don't want that. The devil does not want that. we can't let it stop us. The stakes are too high. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing, this is God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's heart. He wants people to be saved. We've been hearing it about Israel. God loves Israel. He's got a plan for Israel. He doesn't want people to go to hell. He doesn't. Do we? Sometimes we do, because we don't tell them there's an alternative. Here's the way. I was reading my Bible reading in the mornings, somehow making my way through the book of Ezekiel. That is hard. It's hard to read something that it's hard to understand, you know. I mean, it's hard, and it's also very discouraging related to Israel. But in Ezekiel 18:23, it says there, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die?" Saith who? Saith the Lord. He doesn't have pleasure that the wicked should die, and not that he should return from his ways and live. And just the other day, I don't know what day it was, but the other day, Ezekiel 33:11, same thing. Repeats it. He repeats it. I don't have pleasure that the wicked should die. We walk by people and we don't even care. I'm like that. I don't even care. I just walk by people sometimes. That person I just walked by could go to hell. I don't care. No, that's not the way it should be, right? It shouldn't be like that. We should care. As a Christian, are we prepared and willing to meet the extraordinary challenges before us? We need to be. We need to prepare ourselves. The time is short. I think the time is short. I don't know. I'm not a prophecy person. The time is short. The need is great. The committed laborers are few. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37. Let's look at Matthew 9. I got to make you open your Bible at one point here. Matthew 9. I used to think that this was a medical missions passage. That was foolish. Matthew 9, verse 35. We read this the other day here. Yesterday, I guess it was, last night. 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I'm like, yeah, that's medical missions. Well, it is medical missions, but that's not what this passage is about. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were sick. No, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. No one was telling them the truth. No one was telling them the truth. And then he says unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What's the big need? The big need is laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I don't have statistics, but most mission boards will tell you that the number of missionary applicants is way down. Way down. It should be way up. This is the time. This is the time. There's someone sitting here that can go to the mission field or get involved in the church or just in your job, your little neighborhood, the people you have contact with. How many people here can say these verses by memory? Romans 12, 1 and 2. How many here can live these verses easily? It's hard. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm telling you, the world wants you to be conformed. If you don't know that now, in the last several months of what's going on in the United States, that they want you to be conformed to their thinking. They want you to be conformed to their thinking. The Bible says, no, don't be conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what we got to be doing. I ran across this quote. I don't even know who said it. A veteran is someone who, at one point in his life, wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount of up to and including my life. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. Tell God, hey, like he said, here I am. I'm the one that can do this. I commit my life to you. That's what he wants. That's what he wants you to say. I commit my life to you. God calls every believer to live the surrendered life. I commit my life to you. God reveals his will to those who have already decided to do it. If you don't have this book, Daring Devotion, get it. I don't know anything about the author, but it's 31 missionary stories. It's a devotional, 31 days. I don't know what you do in the months that have 30 days. That's a joke. Not a good one. What does Luke 9:23 say? I got up early this morning, 5 o'clock this morning, and I changed this PowerPoint, included different things in it, had all these in and out animations and everything, and then they're not here. I love technology. I even wrote this verse out. Now we've got to look it up. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, this is Jesus, he said to them all, I wonder how many people all includes. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said to them all, this is what God is asking us to do. Is it easy? No. But God is going to be with you. God is going to be with you. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We're to present our bodies living sacrifices. That is true discipleship. Being committed involves commitment. The cost of discipleship is a radical commitment that supersedes all cultural and family ties. I don't know who said that. I can't remember who said that. It wasn't me. Well, I said it, but it wasn't me that said it. The cost of discipleship is a radical commitment that supersedes all cultural and family ties. That's Luke 9:23. Family ties. That's what I was talking about in the beginning. Family ties. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. We were driving here from Massachusetts. we have our daughter and son-in-law and the two girls, twin girls, and our son and his wife. We are never home. Our daughter said to me the other day, you're going away again? Do you think that doesn't hurt? You're going away again? Commitment. We need to make that commitment with God. You need to come to that place in your life where you say to God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Have you ever done that? Don't tell me. But you got to do that. That's what God wants. Commitment. Then focus. 1 Samuel. Let's look up some more verses. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. It's so hard to find verses on a pulpit. First Samuel chapter 12. I'm getting there. 12:20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. This is when they wanted a king. Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness in asking for a king. Yet, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then you should go after what? Vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. We, myself included, we go after too many vain things. Too many vain things take up too much of our time. The next verse, 22, goes along with what we've been hearing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. I love that. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he should devour. I thought of that verse with the lion that I showed you in the beginning. That lion was walking down the street, the dirt road there in this park, just walking down the street. I thought of that. He's seeking whom he should devour. And in this case, it was Cape Buffalo he wanted to devour. But that's it. The devil trying to distract us. Oh, you need to worry about whether... Never mind. We need to be laser-focused Christians. My wife said, don't say that too many times. Laser-focused Christians. We're having some work done at our house. A number of years ago, we took our garage and made it into an office. And now it's an apartment for missionaries. And so we don't have a garage. And so the older I get, I don't want my cars to get covered in snow in the winter because I have to clean them off. And so selfishly I said, I got to build a garage anyway. I'm not building it, but we're having it built. And they came the other day before we left and they're digging this hole. I said, oh no, my yard. I mean, anyway, they're digging and digging. And they have to, it has to be so far down, and it has to be even all the way to put the footer in. And they got this thing. They put it here, and it shoots a laser beam. And they got this pole. The guy's down in the hole. He's got this pole, and he's got a thing on the top. And every time that thing on the top hit the laser that's coming out of that other thing that's over there, it beeped. That's how he knew he was at the right depth. The laser would hit that thing when the pole was at the right depth. Laser focused. That laser beam never moved. It was the stick that was moving. We got to be like that. Don't move. Be focused. Be focused on what God wants you to be doing. Jesus is our example. Just a couple of verses. Jesus is our example of this, being focused. If this is wrong, blame Pastor Hickson. I got it from him. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We've been listening to Pastor Hickson's series on Luke. And I was thinking about some of these things, and he was in Luke chapter 9, 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he, talking about Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. What does that mean? Mitchell translation. He was laser focused. He was laser focused. My wife's going to kill me. I said it too many times already. Where was he going? And what was going to happen? And he was steadfast. He set his face to go to Jerusalem to die for us. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Probably you have these verses memorized as well. After Hebrews 11 comes Hebrews 12. I know that's a surprise. But it says in 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I almost said it again. Laser focused. That's what he was. All through his ministry, he kept saying, I'm doing my Father's business. That's why I'm here. I'm doing what he asked me to do. What has he asked you to do? Are you doing it? Are you focused on it? I'm so weird. I walk around the house. Focus. I'm like, focus. My wife looks at me. What are you doing? Focus. We need to be focused. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. When it was time, he did it. He went to Jerusalem. When is it time for us to get involved? When is it time? When is it time for us to make a commitment? When is it time? He was focused on the task. I didn't say it. What was ahead of him in Jerusalem? He was going to die. I mean, he's not asking us to go to die. He just wants us to go, to do it. Let's go back to Luke 51. You're probably still there. I don't know. Luke 51. Don't blame Pastor Hickson for this part. This is mine. Luke 9, 51 to 62. I'm not going to read all those verses. We're going to do 57 to 62. came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Three potential disciples. The first is the lack of comforts follower. The lack of comforts. Are you willing to give up your comfortable surroundings? Are you willing to do that? Jesus said, Hey, you come with me. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You're not going to have your nice bed and an air-conditioned bedroom and you know, the fluffy pillow and all that. You're not going to have that. Well, he didn't want that. Well, we're assuming he didn't want that. The lack of comforts follower. He didn't want to go. The lack of commitment follower. These two, I don't know, I went back and forth. There's just lack of commitment or lack of urgency. You can put whatever you want there. But the lack of commitment follower. What are you waiting for? Verse 59, he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And then the third one, 61 and 62. Another, he said, And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I've heard people tell me, I want to work for a few years. I want to be involved in missions, but I want to work for a few years. They never get involved in missions. I can do it better by just working and giving to missions. I don't know. The lack of urgency follower. We have a lot of those today. No urgency. This is the time. This is the time we need to be focused on what God has to do. This is not a good picture. I am so sorry. It's not a good picture. And this is a leopard. And I had to blow it up so it's not real clear. But we sat there in our car, truck, whatever it is. This leopard was up at this tree. And he was looking straight ahead. He did not move. I don't know how long. I don't know. We sat there maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. He was up in that tree and he was looking. He must have seen something that he wanted. He was focused on it. He did not move. Today, is there anything in your life that is preventing you from being a laser-focused Christian? Anything? Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's the thing you have to do. Maybe you've never made the commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, show me. I'll do it. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to be refocused. Today's the day. I just thank the Lord for his faithfulness to all of us in saving us. If you're sitting here today and you're saved, what a privilege. And also what? What a responsibility. What a responsibility. Father, thank you for this time. I know I spoke too much. Lord, help us to wake up to what the real needs are in our country, in our world. Help us not to be so focused on politics, on viruses. Let us use the Bible to focus us on what is important. Help us, Lord, to follow you with our lives. Do what it is you want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.